The secrets to manifesting your destiny lie deep within the inner workings of your highest self. In this special studio recording, Dr. Wayne Dyer will provide a clear path to this sacred territory and reveal the practical steps you'll need to take on a daily basis to connect with your own inner source of abundance, where limitless riches, higher spiritual awareness, and true contentment await.
This is a summary of the first principle. The first principle is not only living from your highest self, but it is acknowledging that you have one in the first place and coming to know it. And as you know that there's more to you than just this body and this ego that is in that body, you recognize, I am a divine being, and this highest part of myself is where I want to begin my efforts at becoming a manifester. And here are just a few suggestions that I would recommend you do on a daily basis to get you to the place where you can learn to live from this highest self. The first of these is, whenever you're about to act, to do anything, if you have any conflict at all, you can ask yourself the question, is what I'm about to say, is what I'm about to do going to bring me peace, more peace in my life? Or is it going to bring a sense of turmoil? Is there going to be some struggle, some anxiety as a result of what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do? If the answer is peace, then it's your highest self. If the answer is turmoil, struggle, anxiety, stress, then the answer is your ego. So now you've identified, and now you'll know how to act. The way to act is with the way that will bring you peace. Even if it seems inconsistent, the way to act is the way that will bring you peace. The second thing to do is to start to learn to go beyond this restriction that you've experienced in the physical plane. The restrictions of the physical plane are many. Begin to say, I can transcend that. In your mind, begin to look at yourself as living in that physical plane, but that's not who you are. So figure out ways in your own consciousness to just get past all of these limitations that are a part of your body and your world. The third is, wherever you go, refuse to defend yourself to anyone or to anything on the earth plane. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. You can just quietly be an effective human being and not get yourself into that position where you're arguing with someone over the rightness of how you feel. Just let go of that. And the higher part of you is saying, I want peace. I want peace. It's always there. Keep that in mind. And finally, learn to surrender and to trust in that wisdom that created you. The act of surrendering is letting go, detaching yourself from all of the beliefs that you have that it's important for you to be right and it's important for you to prove other people wrong and all of these kinds of things that keep you sort of in that restriction. Once you surrender and once you let go, you find yourself a whole lot freer in your life. The second principle is called trusting in your divine wisdom. And trusting is the key word here. To understand that you have a higher self and to know it and be aware of it is one thing, but to trust it in it is quite something else. And the ways to put this principle into practice are, first of all, to keep in mind that you cannot go to a higher ground if you're hanging on to a lower level. That in order to get yourself to a higher place, a place of trust, you have to somehow recognize that all of the stuff that's going on in your life in a lower place is something you have to let go of. You have to trust that when you do let go, you're not going to be falling into the abyss. And I would recommend that you take a real rebellious attitude toward the philosophy which preaches that that you are not connected to the divine energy, that somehow this force that has many names is something that is outside of you, and you're not deserving of it. Until you know that you can trust in it, you can't use it and acknowledge it in your life. One of the things to do to practice this trust is to take the most serious problem that you have and turn it over to God. Affirm to yourself, I would like to show my trust in the divine force by simply turning my problems over to your divine hands. I can remember doing this with some of the things that I really struggled with at one time in my life, things that I just thought I couldn't get past. I remember going through relationship difficulties. I remember going through problems with drinking and things like this, where it just seemed like I wanted to get past it, and I just didn't know quite what to do. I can remember times when I would be stuck in my writing and not sure whether I could, and I would just stop, and I would just say, all right, I'm going to turn this over. I'm going to trust. I'm going to surrender. And this concept of surrender is very, very important. So when you do this, it's just that simple act of getting down on your knees and staying there on your knees and just say, okay, I'm going to turn this over to something that is higher within myself. And the ego seems to go away and the solution seems to be there for you. The presence of complete trust is evident in your life when you start to think and feel and do are all balanced and they're all in harmony. This is called congruence. If you're congruent, your thoughts and your feelings and your behavior are all in harmony. If you're incongruent, you have one thought about, gee, I'd like to be able to do this, but then you feel another way about it, and then you act in a completely different way. And this is the cause of most of the struggles in our life, and it's also the thing that impedes the free flow of the divine force into your life. You have to trust in yourself. When you're trusting in yourself, you're trusting in this very wisdom that is the source of your life. And when you are congruent within and are feeling congruent, you are also beginning to act congruent. So work on congruency and look at the areas in your life in which you feel yourself to be incongruent. What do I think about this? And how do I feel? And how do I act? And try to bring them into harmony. And you'll start accessing this trust that is absolutely essential to the manifesting process. And of course, as always, you have to begin a meditation practice of contemplating the supreme principle, which is beyond the pettiness of this world. And as you meditate and go within and you make conscious contact with God, God isn't something that you know about any longer. God is something that you know directly and personally. And once you have this direct conscious contact, this knowing, then trust is not anything that you'll ever have to work on again. You'll have the knowing, you'll have banished the doubt, and you'll be on your way to the next principle for manifesting in your life. The third principle is called honoring your worthiness to receive. The emphasis here is on the word worthiness. You must feel as if all of that you would like to have attracted to you in your life as you begin your manifestation processes is coming to someone who's worthy of receiving it. If you feel that you're not worthy of receiving it, obviously what is going to happen is you are going to block it. And even if it does show up, you won't be there to grab a hold of it and take it because you won't feel that you're worthy of getting it in the first place. So some of the things that you can do on a daily basis to begin to put this principle into practice are, I think, one of the most important things. The very first one, I have a sign on my refrigerator that I look at every day, and so do all of my children, and it says, I love what I do, and I do what I love. And this is a very important principle to have in your life. If you're doing something and you don't love it, then change your attitude toward it, or B, change what you're doing. But as long as you have the option of using love in your life, then you want to do what you love and love what you do. So practice saying that over and over again. And when you find yourself about to complain and find fault with something, remind yourself, I'm doing what I love and I'm loving what I do. And I always have the choice to love it. Even if it's something that I would rather not be doing at the moment, you can still do it with a sense of love. And then the second thing I would recommend in honoring your worthiness to receive is to make every effort to remove the habits that you have of pessimism and negativity and judgment and complaining and gossip and cynicism and resentment and fault-finding, all of these kinds of ways that we have in our inner dialogues and our outer dialogues. You get these words out of your vocabulary and you replace them with words of optimism and love and acceptance and kindness and peace as your way of communicating, as your way of processing your world and all the people that are in it. It's just a habit. Most of these things about complaining about the weather or complaining about the way your Aunt Tilly does her hair or not liking the way the dog comes in the morning or whatever it is, all of these things are just habits that you've cultivated, and they keep you from feeling worthy of receiving all that you would like to have manifesting. Love is the energy that will bring that to you. And if you don't experience and use this love in your own communications, then it will be blocked from your life. I'd also, of course, always give yourself quiet time each day to erase any feelings that you have of unworthiness. One of the cliches of our culture today is that God doesn't make any garbage. God doesn't make any mistakes. And you are not a mistake. You are absolutely as holy and divine as everyone and everything else on this planet now or that has ever been here or ever will be. That divine energy and force is within you. It can't be taken away from you. And just take a moment or two every time that you start putting yourself down or finding fault with something about yourself to remind yourself that you are a divine creation. You are a piece of God. And when you put yourself down, you're literally putting God down. And that's something you want to avoid doing. I would recommend also each day that you read spiritual literature or poetry. You'll see a lot of poetry and a lot of references to spiritual literature in throughout this program and all of the programs that I've produced for Nightingale Conrad and in all of my books, because it's something that I work at every day. I can't go into a bookstore without coming home with some new piece of poetry or new essays that someone might have written, and I just set them in the key places in my house, and I read them, and I encourage other people to read them, and I take passages out of them. It's almost like doing my spiritual homework, and I do it each and every day of my life. Also, I would allow yourself to be surrounded by things of beauty as much as possible. One of the things that we have in our home is fresh flowers every day. They're always there, and when they have a tendency to dry out, then we replace them with new flowers. And nice photographs, and putting on our walls pictures of the children, and good times, and wonderful memories, so that we can look at these things of beauty, including pictures of yourself. And I would also practice kindness toward yourself as frequently as possible. The more that you can remember that you are worthy of that kindness and give yourself a chance to just do something extra nice for yourself. You know, get that expensive thing on the menu or buy yourself that little bottle of perfume or give yourself the option of having a glass of wine on an airplane or sitting in first class or whatever it is that might be something that you would enjoy. The final thing that I would do in assessing my worthiness is to begin to process the universe as a friendly place rather than an unfriendly place. I mean, this is the only place that you have. This air that you're breathing is very friendly. This fire that keeps you warm, this sun that keeps you warm, it's very friendly. And so is the grass that you walk upon, and so is the snow that falls down, and so is the rain. Everything about the universe is supportive of you. So see it as a friendly place, rather than a place that is conspiring against you. The fourth principle is called understanding the wholeness of creation. The essence of this principle is that you are not an organism in this environment. You are an organism slash environment. You cannot be disconnected from it ever. So honoring that and recognizing that in your manifestation process, the work that you are doing to attract to yourself that which you desire in your life, you are really manifesting something that is you are already a part of. You're just bringing into your world space that which is already you. So the way to put this principle to work in your life, here are a few suggestions that I would make, is first to make a conscious effort to check yourself when you begin to think in ways that reflect your separateness. When you start seeing something and telling yourself that, I'm not connected to that, or I can kill this, or I can move that, and it won't make any difference. And what difference does it make anyway if we cut down all of these trees or whatever? Begin to see yourself as someone who is connected to everything in your universe, and that divine force that flows through you also is flowing through all of that. Second thing I would do is to just contemplate the energy that is your life force. This thing that keeps you alive, that is you in the first place. It's not that bone and gristle and blood and all of that that you are looking at. It is something that is invisible, that is within you, and it is also in all of those things that you see in your environment. I would also begin to practice being gentle and respectful and loving toward the life force, not just in yourself, but in all things. And being respectful of it reminds you that you are in some way connected to it, so that by being kind to others, you are also being kind to yourself. There's something very much truthful in the notion that we are the world. It's more than just a clever song title. It really reflects that we all are a part of everything in this world, that none of us can be disconnected from it. I would also, again, determine that I would spend some time each day alone and in silence meditating on this principle. And you repeat that affirmation, I am not an organism in an environment. I am an environed organism. I am connected to it all. And just remind yourself of that. Also, I would make the space of my life as sacred as I possibly can, have as much beauty and sacredness in all things that show up in my life. I would also really work hard at learning more about holograms and the holographic nature of the universe, and begin to see that each and every one of us really do reflect the totality of humanity. We are all just little slivers in this whole conglomeration called humanity, and that when you take one of us and put a laser beam through it, just like on your credit card, it reflects the whole, and each one of us reflects that whole. These are some of the mental kinds of things that you can do each day to just remind yourself that you can't be separated from your environment. And of course, the reason for doing this and manifesting is because that which you want to manifest is also in your environment, which means it is also connected to you, so that you're really just working at realigning your intention with divine intelligence. The fifth principle is what you desire desires you. And the whole idea of this is the power of attraction, that you have within you the power to not only trust in yourself and in this divine wisdom, and also that you are connected to it through being a part of the environment as well as the environment being a part of you, but to also know that there's an energy, there's a force that will be used to bring to you what it is that you seek. So some of the things that you can do to access this force and to begin to have things show up in your life through this energy is when you first wake up in the morning, ask yourself, how did the conditions of my life that I would like to change first come about? How can I facilitate making conscious contact with my unlimited, invisible source of energy? In other words, stop just seeing yourself as someone that is separate from all of the things that have happened in your life, and recognize that there is something that you have been doing to manifest everything that's in your life already. It didn't just happen. Somehow, in some perhaps mysterious way, all that has showed up in your life showed up because of your own inner world and how you connected to it. So just look around and ask yourself, how did this spouse show up? How about these children? How about this furniture that I have? How about this job that I'm in? All of these things, what role did I play in this? Was this just a fortuitous accident of nature? Or am I collaborating in some way that I don't quite understand with the forces of nature that bring things to me? And then begin to take some responsibility for it. Secondly, I would explore the possibility that perhaps the reason you believe that life is limiting is because you've assumed limitation to be in your life. If you don't assume there are any limitations in your life, then those limitations begin to go away. And all of the limitations that you experience and see in your world are really that which is in the physical world. There are only limits in the physical plane, in the right-hand side of the room, as I put it. All of the stuff that you see, yes, there are beginnings and ends to all of that, as our senses perceive them. But in fact, that's really not who we are. Who we truly are, that divine being that is in all things, is unlimited. And when we can give up our forfeiture of our ability to get into that world, we also give up the world of limitations. Whatever picture you are able to create mentally will assist you in knowing that the creative energy is flowing through you. So work on these pictures that you have and make sure that the inner pictures you have of what it is you would like to have, these visualizations, are working with you rather than against you. When you are able to internally picture yourself cooperating with the divine intelligence, it will cooperate with you. If you can't picture this for yourself, if you can't get that inner picture, then you will manifest whatever it is that you are picturing, which is doubt. Another thing that I would remind myself is to never limit the spirit in any way. Talk to your spirit. Talk to this divine intelligence that is you, that is even giving you the power to talk in the first place and to think. And tell the spirit what you want without telling it how you want it to happen. Then retreat in faith and trust. Also, I would keep your mental picturing to yourself. Keep it secret. Keep it private. What you want to attract is between you and God. And the moment that you need to prove it or you need to share it, you take the energy away from its accomplishment and onto the reactions of others. Another thing to do here is to examine all of the supposed lacks and scarcities in your life. Then remind yourself, I created all of this with my thoughts and my conditioning and my beliefs and my actions of my past. Taking responsibility for all that has shown up in your life is the way to transcend the things that you no longer want to show up. Also remember that what you think about is what you become, the great secret of the universe, the strangest secret, as my friend Earl Nightingale used to say. What you think about is what you become, what you think about all day long. Be conscious of every thought or every picture that ends up in your head, because that's what you will manifest in your life. And if you're doubting that, then you will manifest the doubt. And finally, I would recommend that you begin to act as if what you really want to attract to your life is already here, because it couldn't be anyplace else. Everything that's in the universe is already here. You don't create anything, you just redistribute, and you just attract that which is already here to your life. And so, if you are acting as if what you want is already here, if you're thinking you'd like to have health, then you start thinking that I'm healthy. If you think that you'd like to have a divine soulmate show up in your life, you act as if that person is there. And you begin to have conversations with that person and expect that person to show up. If you have interviews about attracting prosperity for yourself, then you begin to act prosperous. You go to places where people who live prosperously are hanging out. You walk around car dealerships that reflect this kind of consciousness. You always act as if what you want is already here. It just hasn't aligned yet with your intention. And that's what manifesting is, the alignment of your intention with divine purpose. This principle is called connecting with unconditional love. The emphasis on this principle is that the glue that holds the universe together is something called love, something called harmony, something called peace. And that it asks nothing in return. It is the very glue itself that keeps everything from falling apart and disintegrating. And so if you are going to become a manifester, you have to be willing to exhibit and accept what shows up into your life with unconditional love, and to send that unconditional love out as well. And here are some of the things that are really useful, I think, on a daily basis to make this the way of your being. Remind yourself that love transforms. That unconditional love is healing, that it heals the body and it heals the mind. And if you have this kind of approach to your life and don't put conditions on it, then you'll find yourself feeling much more peaceful, and you'll sleep better, and you'll enjoy your friends and neighbors more, and your prosperity will increase, because unconditional love is the same as having peace within yourself. Remember, the opposite of love is really fear. Every time you experience fear, ask yourself, what's going on that I've substituted fear here for love in this moment? And the fear that we have that we're not complete, or that we're alone, which is the number one fear that all human beings seem to suffer from, is that the fear of being alone. Once you've transcended that fear of being alone, you begin to recognize you're never alone. You always have divine guidance. You're always connected to this divine principle that is universal. That means it's everywhere, which means there's no place that it's not. Which means, of course, that it's within you. So you substitute that fear when you accept unconditional love into your life. It goes away. And also remember that love is experienced in your thoughts and in your acts of oneness. So that when you are feeling down in your life, and when things don't seem to be working, or you're experiencing stress in your life, look at the thoughts that you have. The thoughts that tell yourself that I'm not living in an unconditionally loving way. As always, in all of these principles, I would recommend that you acquire a private and a non-publicized, if you will, regular habit of meditating and going within, particularly as I talk about it in the last sessions on this program. I would also pick one day to practice this exercise with a partner of your choice. Where oftentimes my wife and I will just go into a room and we will meditate together. And just the energy of the two of us sitting right next to each other or across from each other sort of reinforces our relationship and gives us more unconditional love towards each other. In your silent moments of prayer, I would recommend that you're not afraid to ask for help, because what you're asking for is a more direct communication and dialogue with God, which is, of course, a part of what you are already in the first place. So that God is not this giant vending machine in the sky who's dispensing goodies to you, but God is a part of you that you are in dialogue with, and you ask for that and you'll find yourself achieving it. I'd also recommend that you practice a 2 or 3 day regimen of just having unconditionally loving thoughts and nothing else towards one particular person in your life, whoever that might be, maybe one of your children or your in-laws or one, your spouse, or maybe someone you're struggling with or having a difficult time in communicating. And just practice, say, for this day and this day only, I am going to practice everything, no matter what they say or how they say it, I'm just going to respond internally with unconditional love. I'm not going to allow any negativity there. And watch how that relationship changes. The seventh principle of spiritual manifesting is called detaching from the outcome. And detaching from the outcome means that you get your life on purpose and you're not so concerned with how things are going to work out, but you're in process, and that's all that matters, in the infinite now. And this really is about the power of infinite patience. You don't push and demand and expect the universal intelligence to do things on your time schedule the way that you would like them. In fact, the vehicles that are used to bring about your manifestations are created by and decided by God. And it is not up to you to decide what vehicles, but to just know that they're on their way and they're arriving. And here's a step-by-step kind of mini program for practicing infinite patience in your life. First is to understand the essence of what you desire. You don't generally desire what you think you desire. Generally, what you desire is not money, but more security. Generally, what you desire is not to be to rid of your addictions, but to be healthy, to be non-toxic. Generally, what you desire has to do with some deeper essence that has to do with your well-being and feeling more peaceful. And that's what you want to put your attention on, rather than on the picky little details that will get handled by the universe. And then secondly, banish all of the doubt and enter into the realm of certainty. There is no doubt when you have certainty. There is infinite patience when you are certain of the outcome. So being certain of the outcome is just a knowing. I know it will arrive. I trust in this divine intelligence that is a part of me and in all things. I trust it, I'm aware of it, and I'm patient. I have all the time in the world, as my friend Stuart Weil says. The third thing to do then is to leave your expectations and go about your business. Stop contaminating your manifestations with your expectations and just go about your business. And then fourthly, maintain privacy. Always privacy about your desires. This is between you and your higher self. And then fifthly, be aware of any cues that you desire that are beginning to manifest. Just be aware that these things are starting to show up. And then next, I would act immediately on those cues that arrive by acknowledging them and being grateful for them and thanking them. And then I would not think of my manifestation as a special favor. There are no special favors. The divine intelligence is in everyone and everything. It doesn't pick favorites. If it did, then it wouldn't be universal. It would be saying, okay, I'll give it to you, but not to someone else. And the someone else that doesn't have it would be a place that the universal intelligence is not located. And by virtue of the fact that it is universal, it is everywhere. So it is impossible for it to have favors. It's impossible for it to be everywhere and someplace that it is not. And don't think of it as a favor to you. It is just your tuning in to the higher places within yourself and the higher places in the universe. And then next, I would view any and all of the obstacles that you come up in your life when, that are not showing up in your manifestations simply as lessons, not indications of failure, just simply lessons. Remember, you can't really and truly fail at anything. If you put a golf ball up on a tee and swing at it and it dribbles off to the side, you haven't failed. You've just produced a result. And the result that you've produced is what you want to act upon rather than labeling yourself as a failure. And then next, I would release all judgment from my meditation practice. I would work at not just my meditation practice, but in all of my life. I can be patient when I don't judge, when I don't say, you ought to be the way I think you ought to be, and I'm not going to enjoy myself until you are. That isn't patience. You see, the reason you want to be patient is because patience shows an affirmation in trusting in this divine intelligence and in yourself. And impatience shows that you are separated and disconnected from that intelligence. And then I would learn to relax in peace and have a knowing. And I'd avoid the process of rushing and pushing through my life. You relax in peace and you just turn your thoughts to the affairs of your daily life. And then finally, I would use as many affirmations as I can write or come up with to keep that energy flowing and detaching myself from the outcome. This is the way you put infinite patience and detaching yourself from the outcome to work in your life. The eighth principle is called cultivating an attitude of gratitude and generosity. And essentially what this is saying is that if you are not grateful for that which shows up in your life, you will block its entrance into your life. And if you're not generous with what does show up in your life, you will also block it. And so the ways to create this attitude of gratitude and this attitude of generosity are to begin a practice, a daily practice, of being grateful for all that shows up for yourself. That's the first thing. Just keep in mind how lucky you are to have anything that you might have. So the first thing that you do is develop an awareness of yourself as a recipient rather than a victim. You are a receiver, and you are in the act of having more show up in your life, and you are claiming that for yourself, not because you're selfish, but because you are entitled to the abundance of the universe, since you are the universe. And then secondly, I would practice a silent expression of gratitude whenever you start to see your desires manifesting from the universal source. Just tiny little indications inwardly that you are grateful. Thank you for allowing this to show up. Whenever a little coin shows up, just picking it up and putting it in your pocket and saying, thank you. It's a symbol of all of the abundance that has shown up in my life. Then I would recommend that you daily become a person who's willing to tell those around you how much you appreciate them. Just simple little things like holding your spouse, not for just a little kiss, good morning or good night, but just maybe an extra 15 seconds of a squeeze and just, gee, it's really nice to have you in my life. I'm really grateful that you and I are married. I'm grateful that you're my lover. Or to your children, you know, I'm really fortunate and blessed to be your father or to have you in my life. Or even the sales lady or even the waitress or even the flight attendant. Thank you. I really appreciate your consideration in bringing me the fork I asked for or putting the glass of water in front of me. Whatever, just little indicators of your appreciation. And then I'd be very thankful and avoid complaining as much as possible. Don't complain, don't explain. A good rule to keep uppermost in your mind. One of the things I do each day is I begin the day with an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving. Just a simple little statement. There are some people who get up every morning and say, good God, morning. And there are others who get up and say, good morning, God. I'm one of the people who's in the latter group. I say, good morning, God, not good God, morning. And I'm grateful every morning that I wake up, that I got another 24 hours, that I got through the night, that I had a good night's sleep, that I have a bed to sleep in, that I have a family, that I have my health, that I have whatever it is. And I'm thankful for that. And expressing it just not in a phony way, but even if it's done privately, it gives you that attitude of gratitude that allows the flow of energy to come into your life. Also, it's important to be grateful for all that you don't have and for the struggles and for the opportunity to transcend some of the things that you have perceived to be limitations, to transcend some of your addictions and some of your behaviors that aren't as harmonious and loving as you'd like them to be. Without those, you couldn't get to a higher place. And keep in mind always, as you're working on this attitude of gratitude, that the nature of thought is to increase. Because the nature of everything in the universe is to increase, and the universe is made up of this energy, the same energy that allows you to think. So if the universe is expanding, and it's made up of what's in you, then your thoughts are also expanding. And if your thoughts are on things like, I don't feel very good, or I'm not happy, or negativity in any way, then that will be the thing that continues to expand. On the other hand, if your thoughts are on how grateful you are, then that will continue to expand. And of course, as you become more grateful, you are feeling more connected rather than separated from that which is your source. It's also important to practice generosity in your life as a part of this principle. And that one of the things to do is to recognize that this is a way of being that definitely can be developed. You can, in fact, practice being generous. And generosity is a way of showing that you have trust in this divine intelligence. And stinginess and hoarding are a way of you saying, I don't think there's enough. I'd better hang on to it. And it's a disbelief in the abundance of the universe and more of a recognition of scarcity. And when you have a scarcity consciousness, it is scarcity that shows up in your life. And when you have an abundance consciousness, it is abundance which shows up in your life. Think of the things that other people do for you every day. Think of the things that you couldn't do without the help of other people. you couldn't even be listening to this tape because you need somebody to manufacture it. You need someone to distribute it. You need someone to sell it. You need someone to do all of the hundreds and thousands of things that have to be done to mine the materials that it is made out of, to put the screws in that hold it together, to get the machine for you that is able to play it, to put the buttons in the machine that pushes it, to rewind it, and endlessly to put the paint on it. It's just thousands and thousands of folks, all of whom we are dependent upon. And become aware of the internal resistances that arise within you when you have an impulse to give. Remember that you're one human being connecting to another in a spirit of love and kindness and generosity. And this idea that, oh, I better not tip too much, or I better be very careful about how much I give because then they'll expect more. The more of this that you give away, the more that shows up in your life that you allow to flow through you, the more you encourage that which you would like to have manifested to show up for you in your life. It's one of the laws of the universe. It's simply stated as what goes around comes around. And as if you allow it to come around, it will continue to go around. If you stop it with your stinginess and your hoarding, then you stop the flow. And also it's important to practice being able to receive, just like it is to be able to give. Just listen to this. One breath in, I receive. I can't keep that breath. I have to give it back. Every breath you take is a giving and a receiving. It's the same way with the food that you eat. It's the same way with everything that we have in our life. We have a food chain that is natural to the survival of everything on the planet. There is a giving and there is a giving back. And all that we give it back in the form of fertilizers. We give it back in the form of our own bodies, which ultimately becomes tomorrow's food. Everything on the planet in this moment, as Ken Wilber says, is tomorrow's food. Giving and receiving. And the fact is, if you don't know how to receive, if it's difficult for you to accept from others, then you are blocking it just as much as your unwillingness to give. Giving, receiving. Receiving, giving. It's the way of the universe. Catch yourself at the specific moments of your scarcity consciousness and use this moment to work on your new generosity. You know, you're just about to put down a tip and you're debating between giving $3 and $4. And you say, oh, I don't know, $4 seems a bit too much. That makes it 18% and I'm only supposed to give 15% or whatever your consciousness has told you, that tribal stuff that you've bought into. Give the $4. I remember I always was a teacher in the school who, if a student if 92 was an A, they would write these rules down, and a student would come to me and say, I got 91.4, and I can't, what am I going to do? I'd say, you're going to get an A. That's close enough. And I can remember seeing teachers and working with teachers who would say, nope, if it's 91.999, that's a B, and an A is, and those are the rules, and that's the way it has to be. That shows sort of an absence of generosity. It's close enough was always my motto. And if someone is really determined, even if they had an 89 and came to me, I'd say, well, maybe if you wrote this paper or you showed that you really knew, why not? If it's that important to you and you don't make such a big deal about it. And also I've practiced always just giving a little bit more than I think I can afford, just a little bit more, rather than hanging on to it and telling myself that I can't do it. And the more of this that you practice, the more frequently you will find yourself getting back in tenfold what it is that you gave away.